Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. I want to welcome you to Mentoring for Your Mind. You know, I've had an awesome morning. I got up about 5:45 this morning and made it over to my local breakfast hangout right on the harbor and had a wonderful men's accountability group meeting. It's just an awesome day down here, man. The clouds, it's about half cloudy, raining a little bit, sun shining. So we're off to the races this morning, focusing on the law of the legacy. A leader's lasting value is measured by succession. You know, this is the amazing thing to me. Most leaders that we see out here today, you never see them raising up a protege. You never see them focusing on who's going to take over next. And periodically, when we do see that, for whatever reason, either the leader's ego gets in the way or the protege's ego gets in the way, and something goes south, and it just doesn't last. And one of the leaders that I look at that you're just not sure if they have somebody that's going to be there to take their place is Donald Trump. You know, now, don't get me wrong, Donald's got his kids in the business, and they're kind of going out there and doing their own thing these days and building up that brand. But when Donald passes the reins on, it makes you wonder, based on the fact that he's built everything around his personality, will the company, will that brand be able to succeed? And I honestly believe that John Maxwell has it right when he talks about the law of the legacy. Because when you can sit there and other people are protégés, other people are taking the reins, other leaders are being built up, then you actually are able to see that baton being passed to the next generation. A prime example, I think, is Primerica. When Art Williams resigned, when he decided to retire in 1990 and he stepped down from the company, he did not leave at that time. Well, I won't say that. He actually left a person in charge, people that were going to take the reins. But what happened was because Citigroup had bought that company, they made a lot of changes. And in less than a year, the actual amount of distributors in the field went from a little over 250,000 to less than 100,000. And we saw a demise there for quite a few years. And then Citigroup finally let the reins go, and the people that were supposed to take charge, John Addison is a prime example, got to come into the home office, and we have started to see a magnificent climb in the distributorship base and in the success that Primerica has had over the last 5 or 6 years. As a matter of fact, it was kind of humorous as I was reading through my stock report yesterday. Citi has now valued Primerica as a $7 billion company. And as I looked at that, I thought, wow, what a legacy. To be able to launch a company at your kitchen table in 1977 with eight leaders and turn around some little under 35 years later, to be able to see that company be worth $7 billion and to know that you've helped thousands, hundreds of thousands of distributors and literally millions of average Americans get their financial life in order, man, that's a legacy right there. That's something you get excited about. And when you bring it down to a one-on-one basis and you start looking at what are we going to do? How can we leave that legacy? What can we? We've got to start looking for people that literally will focus on where we're going to go. That's the key. You want people that you can look at one, two, three people, who knows how many it'll be. You know, when I look at John Maxwell's life and I look at some of the leaders in his life that I personally know, I see how he's left a legacy in so many different areas. You know, John Elmore, who runs a nonprofit organization to raise up children and to get them focused on leadership and to live in a straight life, you know, is one example. Like Gabe Lyons over at the Fermi Project, you know, and what he's done and how he's able to go out there into the real world and connect it and show Christians what they need to do to be able to reach the real world. That's the second organization that I see, you know, that's out there. His Equip organization that we talked about yesterday, where they're going out and equipping leaders in third world countries and across these racial divides and everything. You know, it just goes on and on and on. You know, when you see that, you see a legacy being left. And I think that what we have to do within our own core structure, whether it's a brick and mortar business, whether it's a network marketing organization, whether we're a one-man crew that's in sales and we're out there trying to build our own sales, our own volume, or whatever we want to call it, what we have to do is focus in 100% on who can we mentor, who can we bring in as a protege so that we can start that legacy and we can start passing that on. You know, I look at the Bob Schmidt who passed away last year. You know, Bob left a legacy within network marketing. In two different companies, he rose to the top of the pay structure, but he gave it all back. He just kept giving and giving and giving. I see Sherman Unkerford over at Zango after he lost his beautiful wife to cancer. You know, he took some time off, and then he came back, and he's got proteges now that are in there working with him, and they're moving it on and on and on. Folks, if you're focused on a one-man band, and you think it's just about you, and you're not focused on leaving a legacy, then it's not going to work. It just won't happen. One of the things that John writes in his book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, he says, my life sentence is, I want to add value to leaders who will multiply value in others. Yesterday we talked about the fact that if you're a leader leading followers, you've just got addition going on. But if you're a leader leading leaders, then the multiplication takes effect. I've seen this in Jim Gilhouse's life. Jim is not what I would call the super number one prima donna recruiter in the world. But what he does do is he goes out and he looks for leaders. And he goes out and he will sponsor leaders into a primary business. And then he will nurture them and mentor them. He'll find their strengths. And he encourages them. He lifts them up. And I tell you what, you can tell that that's something that he probably got from his mom and dad and from his military experience. Because you can see that. It's at the core of his being. You know, he does not care about getting the limelight. What he cares about is bringing people in. He brought John Hansis in. Trained him up to fly a pilot, to fly an Apache helicopter, and then brings him into a network marketing organization, brings him into our business as our producer. And I see what John, at such a young age, the passion that he has, and it's so easy to see why Jim did that. Jim wants to leave a legacy, not just in his kids, but across the nation, across the world. And you can see this in leaders, true servant leaders, folks, because they look for positions where they can serve. You know, I love talking to Jim on the telephone because we'll get on the phone and he'll start sharing with me about the experiences that he's had with some of the young student pilots that he's training for the Army. And I get so excited as he shares how he stretched them beyond what they thought they were capable of doing, how he stretched them beyond their own limiting beliefs and how they become not just successful pilots but brand new men and women that go out there and help lead. Man, that's what leaving a legacy is about. But there's some things that you have to do. If you're going to develop your leadership legacy, there's some stuff that I want you to write down today, some stuff that I think is going to be beneficial as we move through the book. And I know some of you have already bought this. We've seen it in the bookstore. You know, you guys are really going out there and you're getting the resources that we're sharing with you, and they're going to be life-changing. But the first thing that you need to do is you've got to know the legacy that you want to leave. You know, it's not about you leaving a legacy of yourself. You know, my good friend who passed away a couple years ago and who was one of my closest mentors, Coleman Orr, was the youngest diamond in the history of Amway. That man would sit down with me for hours, sharing with me about the business of network marketing, sharing with me the business of real estate, sharing to me the business of just plain business. And then he would spend hours sharing with me about Charlotte and the kids and how I needed to be a good dad and a good husband and how to do that and how to balance time. He left within me a legacy that will go on and I will pass to others. And that's what you have to know. You have to know what legacy, what do you desire, what impact do you want to make on a leader that they can pass on from generation to generation. See, one of the things that I continually try to teach Dalton is that as a leader, you don't dictate, you lead. You don't manipulate, you lead. You ask people to do stuff for you, and when they don't do it, then you go live it by example and you do it instead. You know, as all the fun times that we had at Catalyst, there was a couple of stressful times. And there were times when I looked at him and said, I don't want to do this. And he said, I didn't ask you if you wanted to do it. I told you it needed to be done, Dad. If you don't do it, I'm going to have to. And he would throw those words back to me and make me understand, okay, I need to do this. I need to serve. I need to put away my ego. You have to know what legacy that you want to leave. It's so important because It's your life. It's the book of life of yours that you're writing down. I strongly suggest you guys journal this and leave it for your kids. If you've got a spiritual background, if you're a Christian, you read your Bible, write in your Bible at different parts of the time. If you're in another religion, this call is not here to debate whose religion's better, but if you're in another religion and you've got a different book, the Book of Mormon or the Quran, I don't care what it is, write in there for your kids. Write in there so that you can leave a legacy. You can pass that on. You know, it's so important. If you're an atheist, get a journal and journal down and leave your kids and your wife so that they can see what you're passing on to them. It's so important, folks. This is just a universal law. If you're going to pass on a legacy, you got to know what it is you're passing on. Number two, you have to live the legacy that you want to leave. You know, as I sat there this morning in our men's accountability group, my pastor looked over and said, Troy, why should every man here go to Catalyst, not just the pastors, not just the lay leaders? Why should every man do this? And it was so It was so neat as he asked that question, because I said, you know, the reason you want to do it is because of your kids. And I shared with them the story of Dalton, and since 9 years old, how he'd been there. And the fact now he works side by side with the Catalyst staff. You know, that's what it is. You want to live that out. And I did. I went every year, and I stayed true, and I served the people there. And Dalton saw that, and he passed that on. Folks, that's the key. You have to live out your legacy. You're not going to be perfect. Some people aren't going to want to go along for the journey. That's cool. You can't change that. But when you do, man, the sky's the limit. You know, I've got a good friend of mine, Mark, that I go to a breakfast with on Thursdays, and he's got two young strapping boys, and he teaches them martial arts. And he's a techie like me. He works for Dell and does a lot of work for them. But the thing that he's teaching his children, not just his work ethic, but he's teaching them discipline. As he shares with them the martial arts, and he gets them focused on control and discipline, he's living out that legacy. Folks, it's so important. You know, and John writes in his book, I think this is so good, he says, some people will summarize your life in a single sentence, or someday people will summarize your life in a single sentence. What you've got to decide is, what's it going to be? What is that single sentence going to be? Mine will be, Troy never gave up. He lived life like it was an epic adventure. And I do. I mean, every day is something different, folks. When you live life like it's an epic adventure, you understand there's going to be peaks and valleys. There's going to be pros and cons. But in the end, when you've got your eyes stretched out there for your passion, for your vision, what your mission is, you know you win in the long run. Doesn't mean you win every battle. It's kind of like Miley Cyrus's song, The Climb. There's going to be some highs and lows, but it's the destination that you're looking at. You're looking out there and realizing one of these days I'm going to hit what I'm looking at. I'm going to reach that, and I'm going to move forward. I'm going to go on. And it's the journey. It's the journey to the destination, not the end result. It's powerful when you think about this, folks, because these are the keys that help us leave the legacy in which we're talking about. Number three, choose who will carry on your legacy. There's a college professor, university professor named Howard Hendricks. He's a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. He's a man that I've got every book that he's ever written. I try to listen to every teaching that he's ever given. And as you look across what I call the traditional Christian community, you look at pastors out there leading churches. You look at Rick Warren, who wrote Purpose-Driven Life. You look at Andy Stanley, who it leads the North Point Community Church in Atlanta. You look at Chuck Swindoll. I can name every one of the big pastors that you see out here in every denomination. They've gone through one of Howie's courses. And Howie's got one training that is 10 years ago, as I said at the very first Catalyst, rings true to this day. And it was about passing the baton and who you're going to pass the baton to and who's ready to take the baton and carry on that race. And that's right, here's what John's talking about. Choose who will carry on your legacy. It's not going to be probably somebody that was born with a silver spoon in their mouth that has all of the pedigrees and has everything that's out there. It's probably going to be somebody that would be the least expected, but yet they have the biggest heart. They have that drive, that passion, that commitment to take it to the next level. You know, I think that's so powerful. when you look at that. Max Dupree, who wrote the book Leadership is an Art, declared in his book, succession is one of the key responsibilities of leadership. And I truly believe that. There's so many leaders out there that we don't know, because when they die, so does their legacy. And that's something that we don't want to see happen. If you're truly wanting to be a servant leader, you're truly wanting to build something that's going to be carried on from generation to generation, then you have to be able to focus on what's best and who will be best. And you've got to really analyze that, because your reputation as a leader will be on the line. But as I said yesterday, when you can sit in an auditorium and hear your words coming back to you, you know you've impacted somebody. I remember Tim Sanders, who was the former chief solution officer at Yahoo, tell a story how he snuck into a John Maxwell conference. And as he listened to John share, it started to penetrate in his mind, and there was some stuff there that he grabbed. A couple of years later, he's at Catalyst, and he's sharing those things, and John's in the audience saying, "I wrote that. You know, I wrote that." And John got up and he said, "I had no clue that Tim had sat into one of my classes." But the fun thing was that when Tim gave that speech and started sharing what John had to say, within just a few weeks, it was worldwide, because it had gone into all of the major tech capitals of the world, from Russia to Japan. And here all of a sudden, John Maxwell's legacy is being passed on to places that he had no clue. And Tim started directing people to John's books, and they started buying their books and calling John, and John and his crew were able to go into some third world countries and start giving out materials to help leaders. Folks, you got to live that legacy. You got to choose who's going to carry on your legacy. Sometimes it's going to be your kids. Sometimes it's going to be others. Some of you may not have kids. You say, "Who am I going to have carry this on?" Find somebody that has that same drive, passion, determination, and values. See, a legacy is created only when a person puts his organization into the position to do greater things than him. It only happens when you put your organization into place to do great things without you. A few years ago, John retired from active corporate leadership. He sold his company, Maximum Impact, and Enjoy, went back into focusing on his nonprofit and doing some stuff. A few speaking events around the nation, but nothing big like he had been doing. Last year, we gave him, or 2 years ago, we gave him the Lifetime Achievement Award. He hasn't spoke at Catalyst in a couple of years. But he left a legacy, and Andy Stanley has taken his place as the keynote speaker every year at Catalyst. In a few years, it'll be time for Andy to retire, and somebody else will take that mantle, and they will carry it forward. Folks, when an organization like Catalyst can be launched in the hearts of a few people and become the most successful leadership conference in history, that's when you know that the leader, the man that was the catalyst behind it, to coin that for a word, that's when you know that he's walking his talk. And I think that is so phenomenal. Each of us need to be able to do that. Number four, make sure you pass the baton. You don't want to hold on to it. When it's time to pass it, you've got to pass it off, guys. You got to pass it on. You know, one of the things that we look at, and a lot of people, they find it humorous. They said, "Troy, Dalton has all these ministries. He has all these nonprofit. He has all these outreaches. You know, are you involved?" I said, "Yeah, I'm involved. I'm behind the scenes. I passed off the mantle years ago because he showed that he had the heart and the drive and the passion to go out there and make things happen. There's no reason for me to be there. It's not about age, folks." One of the hardest things for me to get through to leaders when we're teaching and consulting with folks, whether it's inside the church or in the business world, is that the younger they are, the easier they are to lead, because they don't know what failure is. They don't believe in the word failure. They're not fearful of anything. The younger your leaders are, the younger the people are that you can pass that baton to, the more you will get done. They will not get paralysis of analysis. They will not try to analyze it to death. They will go out and they will do it. When you give them the objective, they roll with it. That's why the military is so successful, is because the men who have gone before, who have got aged battle wounds, now set up the strategy, and they turn it over to their young leaders and say, go do it. And men and women across this country are out there making things happen. We see the same thing really in politics. We see it in church. We see it in business. Doesn't matter where it is. You see things happen in a big way, and that's what's so exciting. So you have to pass the baton. You cannot hold back. You know, Elton Trueblood said this, we have made at least a start in discovering the meaning of human life when we plant shade trees under which we know full well we will never set. Think about that for a minute. Let me repeat that because I think this is powerful. We have made at least a start in discovering the meaning of human life when we plant shade trees under which we know full well we will never set. Folks, when you go out there and plant the seeds, when you go out there and you pass the baton and you give them room to fail, you give them room to make mistakes, you give them room to take the credit for the success, sky's the limit on what can happen. It's the most beautiful thing that I've ever seen. That's when you know. That's when you know that all of a sudden it started. I've been proud to create some of the neatest friendships in network marketing. And for close to 5 years, I got to sit behind the scenes as I watched great leaders in network marketing grow their organization. I had a hotline in my office where the top leaders in network marketing would call at any given hour of the day and say, I have a three-way call. Can you just take this call and talk to this person who's thinking about getting into our business and let them know that network marketing really works and that I'm a cool person? And I said, sure, we'll do that. No strings attached. I served a boss that most people hated. They thought he was an egotistical narcissist. One day, one of the greatest trainers in network marketing, Todd Falcone, called me on the phone. It was about 10 o'clock at night. He'd just gotten off of talking to my boss. He said, Troy, never gave me room to tell him my exciting news. I said, man, you tell me your exciting news. And we got done, and he said, I got a question for you, man. Why do you do it? Why do you take it? Why do you sit there at these hours knowing that you're underpaid and underappreciated? And I said, dude, I don't work for him. And because of my belief, my values, I pulled out my Bible and I said, Todd, you got a Bible in the house? He goes, yeah, man, up on a shelf. I said, well, go blow the dust off of it, man. I want you to open it up to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, it made it very clear. And he said, now I understand. I said, yeah, I don't work for him, man. Everything I do is for the Lord. It doesn't matter if I get credit, because in the end, I know my legacy will be passed on. And folks, I'm excited because I see guys that I were able to train when they were young. Matter of fact, one of them, Mike Dillard, when he first got into network marketing, came into our organization, and we used to talk, and he shared his vision and his ideas. And, man, I thought it was great, and other people said he'd never do it, and now he's created one of the greatest communities, the Better Networker, on the internet because he wants to give back to people. Sometimes leaders are controversial when you pass that baton on, but you know what? When you know their heart, you know their passion, you know what they believe in, you know what they want to do, you get excited. That's the key here. When you pass it on, just a few leaders need to pass it on. Just one or two leaders pass it on, and the sky's the limit. You know, I look at Amway, and we know some of the big stories, you know, the Bret Harts that have kicked it up over there and some of these great leaders that have been there since day one. We know the Orrin Woodwards and the Chris Bradys and all that, but you know, deep down inside, all the little leaders that have made it, that have gone on somewhere else and have built great organizations because the batons were passed to that next generation. See, that's the key. So how can you apply this to your life? How can you make the law of the legacy today start to go into effect? How can you blend this to the 19 other laws that we've covered in John Maxwell's book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership? We're going to finish this up tomorrow. You can't just have spent the last 21 days with us and sit there and say, well, that was great training, and stick it up on a wall. That's where the baton will be, and you'll never pass that legacy on. So here's some things you can do. Number one. What do you want your legacy to be? If you're young in leadership and you're just getting started, you may not know that answer totally, but you can write down something of what you want it to be. you can start the process of saying to yourself, what do I want my legacy to be? Because that's going to start the subliminal message coming through there. If you're a rocking leader and you're starting to build something, but you know eventually you got to pass it on, what legacy do you want to pass on? Who's going to be that person that you can pass it on to? These are questions you got to ask, guys. You got to write this down. You got to be focused on it. Number two, based on your ideas. Based on your ideas you've developed concerning the legacy that you want to leave. Based on looking at what you want to leave, you've got to be able to look at yourself now, and you've got to say, okay, what do I need to change? Do I need to change the way I conduct myself based on the legacy that I want to leave? Is there something in my character development, in my education, in my work habits? Is there a behavioral change that needs to take place? Because only by changing the way you live will you be able to create the legacy that you want to leave. All of us have weaknesses, man. You may need to get with your spouse or somebody else and decide, you know, what it is that you need to do. What changes need to take place. But this is important if you're going to take this to the next level. Number three, in whom will you invest to carry out your legacy? You need to pick people with greater potential than your own. You need to look at people and say, they're better than I am. They can carry this on to a further place. They can take it to a larger level. They can influence people I could never touch. See, if you just keep leading followers, then you're never going to be able to leave a legacy. It just won't happen that way. That's what you don't want. You want to be able to take it to the next level. You want to be able to take it to where it needs to go. You know, we have gone through 21 laws now. Now you have to decide, what am I going to do? Everything rises and falls on leadership. And leadership is nothing more than influence. I want to say that again. I stole that from Maxwell. It's probably some kind of a paraphrase, but here it is. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And leadership is nothing more, nothing less than influence. Who can you influence? Who will you influence? Is it just your kids? Is it your church? You know, is it people in your network marketing organization? Is it your clients? Is it people on the street? The question's yours. Who are you going to influence? Who's going to pass that baton on? Who's going to carry it to the next level? Who are going to be the leaders that in just a few short months are going to be the ones going across the stage in your network marketing company that are going to be in your downline because you don't care? You finally realize that leadership is not a rank, it's not a position. It's an action. You raise up those leaders and you carry them on to the next level. Folks, this is one of the greatest training. I go through this book once a year. If you're new to leadership, I strongly suggest you go get How to Develop the Leader Within You. If you're sitting here on the call and you're saying, Troy, I want to become a servant leader. I want to carry and pass on the baton. I want to leave a legacy. Then go buy John's book, How to Develop the Leaders Around You. You start there, you'll be able to decide what book of John's is next. Next week, we're going to go into a whole new series called Go for the No. It's going to not be structured so much on leadership. It's going to be structured on a sales philosophy, a marketing philosophy, to help you explode your business in a way that you never dreamed. Most people want to focus on the yes. They never want to talk about the rejection, the no's that you have to have. Well, we're going to take a reverse psychology approach. We're going to go through one of the greatest little books that Jim's been walking on cloud nine since he read this, and we had the authors on the radio program. This book will truly, I think, change the way you look at your marketing career. It's impactful. It's great. You're going to love it. I want you to be back here tomorrow morning, Feedback Friday. It's been a week already. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be wonderful. You're going to love it. We're going to have an awesome, awesome time. Remember, folks, live life like it's an epic adventure and go out there and change your part of the world today. We'll see you first thing in the morning.